Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, JB. Hello, Phil. Tim here.
Hello, Tim. We have a situation where we try to do a podcast with two hungover podcasters.
So, my understanding is two hungover podcasters and a third podcaster not present, correct?
Correct.
In transit, I believe.
Yeah.
My recommendation is do not do that podcast.
Yeah, we
found... Agreed.
No, I enjoyed it, boys. I enjoyed hearing you absolutely dying.
Oh, it was horrible. It was the worst thing I've ever done. I'll never do it again. Isn't it an embarrassment of a podcast? So I apologise to all of you.
I wasn't saying the podcast was dying. I was saying you two, like, as human beings were dying.
Oh, yeah. But let's face it, the product might have suffered a tiny bit. But do you know what? 4 years. If you don't like it, screw yourself.
Well, do you know what? I have to apologise as well, because do you know what the ridiculous thing was? So I did this. I worked on the programme on Exeter Saracens.
Yep.
And I had a train booked to get me from Exeter St David's to Paddington.
Which
I could have then made my connection. I could have been there in time. But, and this sounds like ridiculous name dropping. It's not. Ugo had the idea of having a road trip. And so, because Glenn Delaney was driving back to London, he went, let's go with Glenn. It'll be a road trip. That journey, instead of 2 hours, took about four and a half hours.
Does Ugo call lifts road trips?
Clearly. Wow. So we turned down two perfectly good seats on the train to get a lift back with Glenn Delaney. But he was a good guy. And let me just tell you one more thing from the road trip.
Can I just say, Glenn Delaney, good pundit.
Yeah,
he was a good
pundit. Yeah, very impressed.
I was impressed with him as well. So Ugo, we stopped off at this McDonald's somewhere between Exeter and London, and Ugo went up to the counter. This is Ugo Monnier, and I haven't mentioned this on my Virgin Radio show because I don't want it to spread too wide. I am telling this.
This is the right format then.
No. This is something special for egg chasers, right?
Yeah.
So Ugo Monnier went up to the counter in McDonald's and he said, "Can I have a Big Mac, please, with extra burgers?"
Oh, secret menu.
Yeah, the secret menu. I've seen this.
Do you know what the secret menu is, Tim?
I knew nothing about it until Sunday night.
Yeah. No, the secret menu, mate, is you basically ask them for various combinations which they know how to make. So it's like land, air and sea burger, which is the fish fillet, the burger, the normal burger, and then the chicken burger.
It blew my mind. So I had a McDonald's Big Mac with four burgers in it.
Did you really?
Yeah. And as far as I'm aware, I don't think they charge me any more.
Wow.
Mind you, that's on the BT account, so how would you know?
No, it was... Anyway, so there you go. I think that constitutes a road trip. When you learn lessons like that, then that's fine.
Excellent.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, 3 minutes in, why don't we start a podcast about rugby?
Well, why don't I start by giving some of the brilliant reviews of some of our listeners on iTunes?
Why don't we start by playing our theme music?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Hands in, pod on three. 1, 2, 3.
Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm JB, less hungover than, well, the previous podcast, with Phil, who is also less hungover than the previous podcast, and we've got Tim, who's not in transit. Hello, Tim.
Thank you very much, JB. Thank you, Phil.
Oh, right. Shall we read some user reviews then?
Subscribe on iTunes and Acast. Leave your reviews on iTunes. That's all we ask. Leave your reviews on iTunes, like Jason Monday, who says 5 stars, more appealing than a salty kiss, more accessible than the AJ Bell Stadium, more sturdy than a precision German engineered shaft.
That's
which I like that review. Very good.
Yeah. So wait, more accessible than the AJ Bell.
I mean, that could be it.
Guantanamo Bay is more accessible than the AJ Bell.
Kilimanjaro is more accessible than the AJ Bell.
So I'm not sure that's really a compliment.
Yeah,
you're probably right, actually. This one, Jack Hazelwood. 3 egg-chasing Mavericks, as well-organised as a Manu Tuolangi defensive rush, as gripping as a Leinster versus Zebra fixture, and as hard-hitting as a Boris Johnson shoulder charge. Don't be alarmed by JB's continual prediction mishaps, Phil's worryingly in-depth spreadsheets on Jamie Roberts, or Tim's calamitous Kiwi accents. These boys know a thing or two.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll take that all day long.
Yeah, and final one from Taraxicum 10, who said, I'd had a tough weekend. I'd watched my beloved Gloucester squander a 24-point lead, nicked myself with a rusty old razor, and had limited viewing of professional rugby players' partners. However, this podcast was the light at the end of the tunnel. First thing Monday morning, JB reassured me next year will be Gloucester's year. Peeping Tim gave me the heads up on Lazowski's misses, and Phil informed me I'd won 60 quid on Statbacker. To top it all off, my cutting-edge cornerstone razor arrived. Keep up the good work, boys.
Congratulations for winning 60 quid on Statbacker.
Yeah, not too shabby.
We could also mention that this week's winners were John Root, Stuart Bradford, and Sam Wicks, who've won a few quid as well. So well done to those boys.
And we'll be giving out a jersey later on this show.
Ooh, that's very exciting.
Isn't
Fiji,
it?
Fiji Sevens jersey, a gold medal winning Fiji Sevens jersey.
Yes, we will be. Right. So what do you want to talk about, boys? So what is the point of this podcast? Let's just be clear on this. Is this just filling up the gaps? Is this like polyfiller, polyfiller?
Yeah, basically. So what happened is we kind of had a running order and then we didn't have a running order because some things take 3 people. Quizzes take 3 people. Debates take 3 people. Looking through the profiles of players' girlfriends takes 3 people. And in the end, what we ended up doing was just talking over the game. So yeah, exactly. We're going to fill in the blanks as a kind of, we are sorry for our first efforts podcast.
Well, do you know what? I think the effort is important, and people will recognise the effort and the sacrifice that was made. You know, you were shells of human beings at that point.
True.
And you still soldiered on.
True.
Yeah, I was struggling to concentrate on anything. I couldn't hold 2 pieces of information in my head at the same time. Apologies, but we did try.
So pathetic.
Right. Let's just have a bit of forward momentum then. A few things that were glaring omissions that we should cover off now. Stuart Lancaster, defence coach at Leinster.
Well, yes. So, Stuart Lancaster, defence coach at Leinster. I don't believe he is a defence coach. I think he has a defensive brief, but he's also tasked with other things. And do you not think it's a little bit weird the way they've listed it as kind of head coach, vice senior head coach, and then 2 assistant coaches?
Yes.
Have you seen it?
I do think it's strange.
Yeah. I do think it's a bad appointment, actually.
I'm quite surprised that Leo Cullen said okay to this, because it strikes me like as you suggested, JB, his role is going to be far more wide ranging than defence. And Leo Cullen appears to be kind of struggling to get to grips with that head honcho role. And I don't know. My perspective on Stuart Lancaster is what he does really well is organisation, and I'm going to say the word culture, all that kind of thing. Sort of the administrative setting things up and setting things going. He'd be really good at.
Yeah,
kind of not clear. It's very fuzzy what he's doing.
Well, don't forget, Leinster have got a little bit of a history now of appointing people and consultants. They had Graham Henry for 2 weeks. So maybe it's that kind of role. The other thing that might have happened is Leo Cullen just phoned up Andy Farrell and said, what's this guy like to work with? And Andy Farrell went, yeah, it's easy. You'll pretty much run the show.
Yeah, I reckon maybe. What do you think, Phil?
I think it's... I'm a bit surprised that Stewart's gone for this role, almost. Because I would have thought he would have wanted a head coach role somewhere. But that leads me to the conclusion that he's tried to find a head coach role somewhere and hasn't done. And he just wants to get back involved.
You know, I think it's good.
I think you nailed it there, Phil. I think by the way he was going around the Southern Hemisphere, I think he was desperate for a Super Rugby job and didn't manage to get one.
You know, I actually think it's a good move for him. And you know, despite all of the banter, I do hope he does well. Because it is nice to see a guy who's been kicked quite a lot, mostly by me, do well. And if you can turn it around, it would be good to say, yeah, look, told you so. Yeah.
Wait, told you so?
Well, everyone, the whole rugby media, because he has taken a bit of a beating.
For him to say told you so?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought you were lining yourself up to say told you
so. No. I do genuinely want him to do well. I mean, everyone you speak to says he's actually a really good guy.
Yeah.
So let's hope it develops into something.
Were you going to say something else, Phil?
No, nothing more than I agree with Jay. It would be nice to see him actually succeed, because I'm sure he does have some very positive qualities.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Another thing that I just want to—I was quite surprised that your thinking wasn't completely in line with where mine would have been on some of the officiating decisions and TMO refereeing decisions and stuff. So just to be clear, right? Because again, where were you on the Far Saliva?
Far Saliva for red. Worcester is red. I think it's red.
Oh,
I mean, like.
Sake.
He gets away
with it. I hope you change your mind now you're sobered up.
No. I think he gets away with it, you know, if he hasn't knocked someone out cold. You know, it's like punching someone's chest. You'll probably get away with that
I think he could have got away with it if he hadn't moved his arm up. He'd kept his arm by his side, there's no case to answer.
Yeah.
It's the moving the arm up that does it for me.
What I would say, you go onto YouTube and you type in Louis Picamole... best bits.
Yeah.
And I've watched a video and all that Louis Picamole does. Every single ball carry,
yes,
he does the exact motion. It's just putting your arm in a defensive position to protect your own body.
Slightly wrong there, Tim. Louis Picamole uses a very unusual technique called the praying mantis. So he kind of holds both forearms kind of like a praying mantis and then boshes forward.
Well, let's just say that connected with someone's jaw. You're going to give him a red?
Yes.
I don't want to go into it too much because you talked about it and other people have made their own decision. We can move on and have a little different conversation, which has emanated since. But why... I think this particular one is giving a red card for the outcome, not for the action. And I think the action is a rugby incident and it happens every game 30, 40, 50 times.
No, I disagree. He made contact with the head. The guy was clearly unconscious. Well, he was unconscious, not clearly unconscious.
So what?
Unconscious.
That's irrelevant.
It's massively relevant.
Because
the action of that player caused that other guy to go unconscious. That is why it's relevant.
It would be irrelevant had it not been the elbow that connected with the head. If it had been his shoulder that connected with the head carrying the ball.
I would think that he would get... No, he wouldn't.
It's because it's an illegal act and then consequences come in.
The actual chicken wing is an illegal act. It's basically like, you know, if you don't have the ball, the kind of chicken wing shoulder charge is an illegal act.
And that's how everybody runs with the ball under one arm.
That is not true.
I'm just going to run with my arm by my side. Go on, whack me in the ribs. Go on.
Yeah, but it's a raising of the forearm, Tim. That's the difference.
That's
leading
how I
with
see
the forearm.
It.
You sound like a TMO. You both sound like TMOs right now.
You've been infected.
Anyway, on the subject of TMOs, I think the slow motion made that red card far, far worse. And there's been plenty of talk from lots and lots of pundits. It was on the TV show, on the actual game. The pundits, I think Ben Kay and Austin Healey, were saying they need to stop the slow-mo for incidents like that. Would you be up for that with the slow-mo issue?
Brian Moore has come out with the same thing in his Telegraph column. I'm actually generally against the slow-mo because I do think it makes things look worse.
Yeah, it's got to be game speed.
I could possibly go for kind of a 25% slowed down, just slowed down so you can determine.
Phil. Can we have 25? I think this warrants 25% slow mo.
Yes, so I could go for that, and I would also go for slow mo for grounding the ball for tries.
Yeah,
but I do think for big hits, they always look a lot worse when you do slow it down. So I am in general agreement.
Well, you know my views on this, which is we keep an excited 15-year-old schoolboy in like a shipping container just outside the ground, and we pump the images into the shipping container and we ask him, is that entertaining or is it not? And if he says, yes, it's entertaining, you play on.
Well, then the Worcester red card would not have been a red card.
I'm talking about ripping up the rule books here.
Okay.
It's completely
new
approach.
Nor should it have been a red card, but anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of youngsters in just loving their rugby, did you see the video I tweeted earlier on at Rugby Podcast?
Yeah, is it American lad, is it? Or is it a Kiwi?
No, he's an Australian lad in Canberra. Canberra Kids League. He's just a ridiculous specimen for a kid.
He's a large unit.
It is ridiculous.
Those handoffs were almost, they were bordering on red card worthy.
In my mind, it's a great example. It's a ridiculous video to watch, but it's a great example of why the New Zealand weight grade system is a good system. Because the kids playing against him aren't really getting much out of that. And more importantly, he looks like an incredible talent, but he's not getting anything out of it because it's too
the
easy.
Kids he's playing against, they are getting something out of it. They're getting their own asses handed to them.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it comes out in about 2 years' time that they lost his birth certificate and actually he's, what, he's 15 like, playing against nine-year-olds.
Right, another briefly then, I'm just trying to rattle through the things that I'm aware that you missed. Right, well, one of you, get on your phone and go to Jonathan Joseph's Instagram account.
I've seen it.
Have you?
I've seen something on Saturday night.
Yes.
He was
after the game.
He was popping bottles. He was in a club, having someone firing what looked like champagne all over him.
Well, that's a sensible way to use your match fee, isn't it?
Hey, listen. Whatever you want to do, you've played a tough 80 minutes. You've had a good win. You go out and celebrate however you want.
I'm not so sure, Jonathan.
I want to see rugby union players, England internationals, with the kind of video that Jonathan Joseph came out with. I'm all for players letting us behind the scenes of what's going on, but I don't want to see that.
This is interesting. Why, Tim? I mean, my view is he shouldn't be doing it because he needs to fill up his ISA account first. Maybe if he's made full pension contributions and has maximised his ISA allowances, I'm all for it. If not, that's a sit-down Jonathan needs to have with his money manager or his agent.
Or you.
Well, or me. You know, I'm interested to know why Tim doesn't like this. Go on, Tim.
I just think it looks really bad. At one point there's a pole in the background, like a pole dancing pole.
Yeah.
Maybe he was in a fire station. We mustn't judge.
It's not very becoming of an England international. I quite like the affable nature of rugby players, and quite like seeing some of the videos. But I just don't want to see rugby players doing that. That's what you'd expect a Premiership footballer to be doing.
What would you say if they were pints of beer being thrown down his throat? Or Scott Quinnell? Was it Scott? No, Colin Charvis in the old dentist chair.
Oh, we'll let the boys play is what I'd say then. It was the combination of the music, the surroundings, and what they were doing.
It's a waste of good champagne. We could have been drinking that, Jay.
Yeah, we could have actually.
I'll tell you another post-game Instagram picture this weekend was from Richard Wigglesworth, if you've seen that one.
No. I haven't seen any Instagram.
And it's a picture of the Saracens team bus.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going away from Exeter. There's Baz Barrington, Skalk Brits, not Skalkberger, and Chris Ashton.
Thanks,
just in case you're wondering, Tim. And in front of them, they have got... Can you tell me what they would be rehydrating and refueling with?
Coconut water.
Jay says coconut water. Tim, what's your guess?
Rehydrating...
Rehydrating.
I think after a big win like that away from home, they'd be straight on it. So I'm going to go for Guinness.
No. Go for Wolfpack Lager.
Oh yeah.
They should have been Wolfpack Lager. I can confirm there are cans of Magnus, cans of Heineken, and a big McDonald's meal.
Good for them. They deserve it.
If they're winning every game, I think there's a lot of teams going wrong. I think a lot of teams should be looking at that photo and making some changes.
I mean, you did point it out, and you did correctly say what happened at that Exeter game, but being there in the stadium, I'm sure it looked exactly the same as it did on the TV. Saracens didn't win. They pumped. They absolutely pumped Exeter.
Really? How did it look on by pitch side then?
Exeter just got humped.
It was that defence. It was that Saracens' defensive effort to... I mean, first half when they just stopped, it was like Exeter running into a brick wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have got a theory, and I did mention it on the other podcast, but I'll very briefly touch on it again, see what you think, Tim. I think that Exeter inadvertently showed us how to beat Saracens. And the reason I say that is when they had the ball for prolonged periods, they did start to come back into it. And I think
it's quite interesting you said that, because before game and on the BT bus, Jack Knoll was chatting to the guys and said something, and they went, I think it was Ugo said, oh, you have to say that on air. That's really fascinating. And Jack Knoll's point was that they've analysed Saracens and they found in the Premiership final, if you got past six phases, they started to holes started to be found. And
yes.
What's more, in the England training sessions, because the defensive guys are from Saracens, a lot of what you get is they just do defensive sets of like four or five phases and then they stop. So that Saracens are completely focused on being so aggressive for a short period of time in defence that they turn the ball over, which they quite often do.
Which they did a huge number of times.
But when I think about Saracens, I think about like over 10 phases being very comfortable. But mind you, that's not mutually exclusive, is it?
So, no.
The other thing I think as well is Saracens prepare so well for a game. So remember the Bath final?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bath had this amazing game plan. All of a sudden, Saracens are in their face. And that's kind of what Saracens do. They kind of plan and they come out and they did it to Clermont. They did it to Racing. And, you know, that's what they do. So instead of trying to beat them with a game plan which you think is clever, scrappy game plan and go for something that they know is going to happen, and you need a huge team and you've got to kind of run over them. That's the only way I think you can beat them.
Keep grinding them.
Yeah, and don't give them any ball, because Alex Goode is exceptional and so is Ashton, and Maitland will get there eventually.
Yeah, I heard loads of chat about Saracens and Exeter, and there's been loads written. We should talk about some of the other rugby as well, because it's almost getting to the point where you're kind of just in awe and bored by Saracens, and it's only week two.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've got a question for you both, and it's not one I'm running on about. So let's make this a little bit quick. I was having a debate online with some Welsh fans, as I often end up doing, sadly.
is that a euphemism for ranty exchange?
No.
I'm having a debate and slash, which means argument.
Some of these people just never ever stop. I mean, I thought I was belligerent, but my word. And here's my point. Okay, so there's a lot of chat about Pro 12 teams. How would they do in the Premiership? Now, I think there's three teams in the Pro 12 that wouldn't get they wouldn't get past the bottom team in the Prem. So two Italian teams and the Dragons wouldn't get past 12th position. 12th position. Do you think that's fair?
I think it's not far off. I think Dragons, based on the fact that they played Gloucester and beat them in the quarterfinal of the European Champions Cup last year at Gloucester, I think maybe they could... They'd certainly be challenging Bristol, Worcester, Newcastle and could possibly pick up some points elsewhere. But they won't get far off.
I disagree, because I think the intensity of the Premiership would grind them into dust. And they don't have that.
They don't have the depth of most of the Premiership teams. But they could pick up some points here and there.
Okay, so here was my... It's a very loose theory. It's pub chat. I admit it's nothing more than that. But my theory is, we can judge how good a Pro 12 team would be by looking at Gloucester. Because Gloucester have loads of Pro 12 talent. And they are coached by a Pro 12 director of rugby. How say you, boys? Gloucester, a good example of a Pro 12 team in the Premiership, if you wanted to know how it'd go.
So they're Pro 12 talent. McAllister, Hibbard, Afoa played at Ulster.
Yep.
Morgan played at Scarlets.
Yep.
Moriarty, Laidlaw, Matt Scott.
James Hook,
yeah. So they've got quite a lot.
Loads.
And Humphreys, obviously.
And Humphreys in charge, yeah.
Yeah. They've probably got, other than the Irish teams, a few more internationals than...
So next year is the Pro 12's year.
Next year is exactly right, Tim. That's what I've been saying. Well, it'll be interesting because if they get it together, it means the Pro 12 might do quite well. But it's a good. I think it's a good barometer.
It probably is. Although, if they did get beat by the Dragons, well, they did get beat by the Dragons, so that would put Gloucester in 11th place in the Pro 12, but they finished 8th in the Premiership.
So the Pro 12 is better than the Premiership, is that right? Is that what we're saying?
The top 10 teams are better than the top 8 teams in the Premiership, yeah.
Must be. That's irrefutable now.
Although, I think Gloucester are a bad barometer because... Like they in that game against the Tigers, they looked brilliant in the first half and they looked awful in the second half. So I'm not sure. And against Worcester, they weren't great for 60 minutes. They managed to pull it round in the last... So they can be brilliant and excellent in the same game.
Yeah, I think they're the most fascinating team in the Premiership this year to see what they're going to do. Because I've seen sparks of what they can do and it looks good.
Yeah, it does.
And then...
Oh, God. I need to get some gossip off my chest.
Please do.
Oh, man, I need to get some stuff right. So I am led to believe, because I noticed George Ford was made captain of Bath at the weekend.
And have you noticed anything else about George Ford recently? Coming out of Bath?
He got man of the match performance
anything
at the
else?
Weekend. Dean Richards as well.
A lot of chat about how good he is compared to Dan Carter.
What?
Good he is compared to Dan Carter?
Yeah, because he's got the Dan Carter's old boss, right.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, right. Okay. Well, listen... he's been made captain by Bath. I wonder if... I thought, oh, right, well, that's an interesting signal. That sort of signals George Ford may be part of the furniture at Bath and going to be there for a long time.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I am led to believe he's leaving at the end of the season. And that his likely destination, Leicester Tigers.
Wow.
Do we get to play a little bit of fly half merry-go-round now?
Well, yeah, because this is it. Because you're sort of thinking, well, Leicester, they've got Owen Williams and Freddie Burns.
Right.
That would seem that, if that is true, that signals to me, bearing in mind he's number two at the minute, that Owen Williams is, his days are numbered.
No, the other way around. I think Freddie Burns will be numbered.
Oh, yeah. Because, Freddie Burns as well. Yeah, possibly
see,
both of them.
This is a dilemma now, right? So they get Ford in. Burns is on big money.
Yep.
But Williams has the enticement of Wales.
Yeah.
If he signs a new contract, does he fall under Gatland's law?
If he's offered a fair rate contract. WRU deemed to be a fair rate contract.
So let's assume this is the case for a minute. Let's assume that this time next year, George Ford is in a Leicester Tigers jersey. You heard it here first. Then... Like, who in the Premiership needs fly halves? Because I would say that Stephen Myler is getting long in the tooth, and Northampton will be wanting to upgrade that position at some point.
Yeah, they've already brought in Hanrahan, and they've got Malander. So I think between them...
If Malander's a 10.
Yeah. So let's say Malander's not a 10, and Hanrahan is kind of 10/12, and not really done the business yet.
Yeah, he hasn't yet.
Could Owen Williams be a Myler-ish type 10 for them? I don't know if he can get him fit. Sure.
No, I've got a much better fit for you. Much better.
And I've got a much better fit as well.
Freddie Burns, Harlequins. Yeah.
That's exactly where I was going to say.
You reckon?
Exactly.
Definitely. Fits perfectly.
Nick Evans will be 36 next year.
Yep.
They've played around with a couple of others. They've played around with Botica and Tim Sweel. Neither of whom cut it, and they've got
James Lang,
JB, who you think is going to be an up-and-coming star, but he's only 19.
Yeah,
so he's not going to be getting much game time anytime soon.
But don't you think Quins are just poor? They don't look good.
Yeah, but that means they'll have money as well. And also, what is going to happen if they find themselves in a European Cup final and they need an errant kicker to put the ball somewhere it shouldn't be. Who is most likely to do that in the Premiership? Maybe Freddie Burns.
Without Ben Botica, you're probably right. Probably is Freddie Burns.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice fit for Quinns. Just on your point that they've not played well so far, I completely agree. They've been probably the most disappointing team for me in the two games we've seen this year. Although my point the other day was, it's both games are in bad conditions. Yeah. I really want to see them in some good conditions because that's where they shine.
Well, that Twickenham game, well, I wouldn't say it's bad conditions. A little bit greasy, I wouldn't go as far as to say
down,
bad conditions. Sorry,
was it not tipping down?
No, it was. There was rain, but it wasn't horrific conditions. It wasn't that bad. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
a little bit tricky, nothing compared to what it's going to be like in a couple of months.
I think Quinns are a couple of losses away from being under some serious scrutiny.
Yeah.
So they've got Exeter at Sandy Park this week, no chance. And then I don't know what they've got next, but they'll have lost against Sale, they've lost against Exeter, and before you know it, it's a very slippery slope.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there might be a bit of a rebuilding project at Quinns next year if it all goes wrong.
We'll keep our eye on the George Ford situation, but I say, Leicester Tigers fans, I think you can start to get quite optimistic about your team next year. You slot George Ford into that back line and you've got something pretty dangerous looking.
Well, I've heard they might be after a back row or two, which isn't a massive secret. So you might be getting an eight and a fly half, and you might even be getting an eight this season. Who knows?
Just Quinn's next two games. They've got Exeter away. And then it gets a little bit easier when they invite Saracens to the Stoop.
Oh, that'll be easy. And after that?
They travel to Wasps.
Okay, and after that?
Northampton at home.
And after that?
Then they've got... where are we? There's some Champions Cup games. I'm trying to find their next game.
While you're doing that, can I just fill in a little picture, paint a little picture for you? So I'm currently sat in the Virgin Radio studio. My show is on air at the minute, but what I've done is I've pre-recorded about 20 minutes of the show. Oh God, I probably shouldn't be saying this.
No, let's cut that out. No, let's keep it in.
Yeah, keep it in.
No. But the point is I've got to, because we took so long getting started, I've got to the end of where I'd pre-recorded, so which means in about 2 minutes this song is going to finish and I'm going to have to talk, so okay. I might have to break off from the podcast. You can hear me do the link if you want.
Yeah,
or you can just leave me to it.
Let's get a live Virgin Radio link in. The first in the history of any rugby podcast.
What did we have? Danish football the other week.
Wow. Can you not just throw it over to the weatherman or something?
It's just me, mate. It's just me here. Me and Brian, the security guard. That's it.
Brian seems talented enough.
He's a good guy.
I was listening to you before, Tim. I did enjoy the American football commentary little segment.
Oh,
you did.
Have you heard that, JB?
The cleanest tackle ever. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
No. Let me play you this. So, in the what was the game last night? The Rams.
Rams versus San Fran.
Yeah, really, really dull game. I don't know how I'm going to play this to you without it feeding back. Anyway. So there was the radio commentary of that. There was a streaker that came on, and you know when you watch it on the telly, they don't actually show the streaker. They just cut to like shots of the coaches and stuff.
Yeah, ridiculous.
On the radio commentary, this is what he decided to do.
Third and four, looks into the nickel of San Francisco in the secondary. Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing
10,
him.
The 5.
They're not gonna get him. Waving his arms. Bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh,
Kevin.
They got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the
coat.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
How good is that?
That
right,
is brilliant.
Stay there. Wait one minute. Stay with me.
Okay. Where I've been. Have we got a license to play this?
Yeah, I don't know. I'll just turn it down a bit. What is happening? I thought you need to talk when there's...
Chili Peppers on Virgin Radio. Right, it's time for my record of the week. And it's a tune that's going to be on the reissued version of Oasis's Be Here Now to commemorate 20 years since that album. And it gets a bit of stick, that album, Oasis's third one. It used to get a lot of stick by Noel himself, but I think it was pretty good, you know.
not too shabby. What's, for most bands, that would be a masterpiece. But this has popped up, and it's a demo version, a very, very early demo version of Don't Go Away, which was recorded by Noel on the very exclusive island of Mystique, which is in the Caribbean, and it's a place where loads of celebrities go. And us mere mortals can't just go there. Noel Gallagher could. That's how big Oasis had got. And this tune is Noel giving his vocals to Don't Go Away. And this is my record of the week on Virgin Radio.
Right.
Did you hear any of that?
That was exceptional. Exceptional.
Did you actually hear?
Yeah, heard all.
Okay, cool.
Is that like a 9-minute song?
That's fine. I'm sorted now.
Okay. Shall we move on to the Rugby Championship? Because I have noticed that we've not spoken about much rugby for the last 5 minutes.
Yes.
What would you like to say about it, Phil?
I would like to say Beauden Barrett. Oh, my word.
Sorry? Oh, yes. Sorry. I thought you meant Brad Barrett for a second.
No, just...
Brad Barrett. Oh, my word. Granite shoulders. What a jaw.
21 tackles this weekend from Brad Barrett.
Very tell impressive. You what, he is... Say what you like about his defensive qualities. We're talking about Brad, yeah?
I was hoping to get off the Saracens game sometime.
Yeah, I just want to say, like, you can't help but massively respect what he does.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite, you know, his attacking frailties, my word.
Now Beauden Barrett,
which is the opposite. You can't Yeah, you can't help but, you know, talk about his defensive frailties, but what attacking ability.
Frightening how good that guy is. He turned that game. He turned that game individually. I mean, basically, it was like New Zealand never got out of third gear in the whole 80 minutes. But while they were idling in second gear, just chugging along, Argentina gave it a really good crack. Oh. But then Barrett just went, right, come on, boys, I've got this. Let's stop messing about.
Yeah. Well, for almost 60 minutes, Argentina were right in the game. And until about 60 minutes, they were banging on the door. I think it was 24-19. And then New Zealand did just flip a switch and they scored 3 tries, a couple of conversions in that 10-minute window and went from 5 points up to 25 points up.
Incredible, aren't they? They're just incredible. I mean, there's only so many things you can say about them over and over again. I would like to link this, and I know it's all over the place, right? I'd like to link this with the Lions appointments.
Okay.
And the reason why is because of this New Zealand style that they're playing, which is so important. I think it's absolutely vital that Gatland appoints Gregor Townsend to his staff. Absolutely vital.
Because you want someone who can play the attacking rugby.
Well, for both reasons.
I'm going to take massive issue with this because is this the same Gregor Townsend who said he's clearly on something? Because Gregor Townsend said in a rugby paper article last Sunday, the Pro 12 is a better product, is better quality than the Premiership.
Okay, he was taken out of context in that, I believe. I believe what he's saying is that the quality of the rugby played in patches is better than the Premiership.
And Worcester beat the team who once beat the team who are European champions and were therefore the best team in Europe. That's like Dean Ryan logic that Gregor Townsend is using there.
It's a ludicrous thing to say in terms of the whole competition. But actually, which rugby club in the Premiership would be able, with the players available to Connacht, to produce the same style of rugby? And I think that's what he was going at, which is the style of rugby in the Pro 12 can be very attractive. And Glasgow were very attractive.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And, you know, yes, you're in the terms of the style of rugby, the Pro 12 is an exciting competition to watch. I will give it. And by the way, in terms of exciting young, prodigious talents, did you see Phil in week one, Joey Carberry for Leinster?
No, not heard of him.
No.
He wasn't on my radar either, but he should be on your radar now. This young fly half, Joey Carberry, just 2 tries on debut and looks absolute class.
Yeah. Wow, nice. Well, this is kind of coming back to the reason why Gregor Townsend should be with the Lions. Because, for a start, you're not going to beat the All Blacks with sheer defence. So you can have Gustard in an attacking role, but you're going to have to outscore them. So good defence would be nice, but you need to outscore them. Now, who has had success at overcoming this all-blacky New Zealand style? Gregor Townsend going up against Connacht when he battered them.
This season.
This season.
Not last season.
Not last season. So
they lost in the quarterfinal. Exactly. Semi-final.
Well, they lost two games, didn't they?
They lost them back-to-back. Yeah, the last game of the season.
So it's my view that he's looked at it, kind of come up with a recipe to beat it, gone back, and has now beaten it. So maybe he is the man to help out Gatland. And Gatland will say, no, we're going to run it around the corner over and over again.
Probably. And he'll just pick the biggest possible team you can pick from the players available. He'll have Sean Lamont on one wing.
Yes.
And George North probably on the
other. George North with Cuthbert on his back. To slow him down a bit, but give him more bulk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Add another 15 stone to him.
That'd be nice.
Oh, man. I'm not sure. I don't think... starting to get to the point where I don't know. Well, no, we'll see how it goes in the internationals, but I'm wondering whether Jamie Roberts is the way to beat New Zealand. Maybe it is. I don't know. No, I don't know.
In all honesty, the way that New Zealand are playing at the moment... And maybe this is because the other teams aren't as strong as they have been or should be. But the way New Zealand are playing, I can't see anyone beating them.
No.
I just can't see it.
I think the Lions can do it.
I'm not sure. Because that...
In one test.
That New Zealand team, half of the team has been together for the past kind of 5-6 years. There's a few new faces, but the new faces they've brought in have been in and around the squad. Like Fekitoa has been in and around the squad for 2-3 years.
Ryan Crotty, Kane.
These
are not really new players, are they?
No, they've been introduced so well, and they're so well knitted together. They understand each other so well. And the Lions, they play against each other frequently, but they don't play together. You'll get kind of a few combinations that play together, but not many.
Mm.
I just can't see it. Even now, even with my most optimistic hat on, I can just about only see a 3-0 whitewash.
A team of Gatland at the top, Gregor going in attack, and Gustard going in defence. I quite like that.
Don't get me wrong, I like it. I don't mind that, and I think the Lions are going to have some quality players available. It's just beating New Zealand. I'm still not sure how to do it.
Why don't you take Pat Lam as well?
Could do.
Yeah, that's not a bad shout. Look at me go.
And Eddie Jones.
No, not Eddie Jones. He won't go.
What about...
Pat Lam.
Major. Aaron Major.
That's a good shout. I think they've got to be on secondment for 6 months, though, haven't they?
Have they?
Yeah, there's more chance of being able to afford Pat Lam than Major.
My biggest worry about the whole Lions tour is the fact that a bunch of players aren't going to be able to start the tour because of scheduling issues with the Viva Premiership finals, etc.
Yes.
My concern is that they're not going to be able to get on the piss enough to build up that camaraderie that's going to be... I'm serious when I say this. Like that togetherness and squeezing that extra 5% that you didn't know you had by coming together and four becoming one, and I think that's absolutely massive, and I think it's affecting it now, this scheduling issue, and players not going to have had a break and are going to be flipping from club rugby to Lions rugby, and some there, some not. I do think that's genuinely an issue.
Well, I mean, we can talk about this in a little bit more detail in another podcast, but
I think there is
a real big discussion to have. Is the Lions even still viable? Because I'm starting to think it's not.
Oh, I think it is. I think there's still a place for it. It's interesting that just tonight, a couple of hours ago, there's been breaking news about a shake-up, the changes to the global rugby season. And part of it is moving the Lions back to July-August time. So the Pro 12 and Premiership will move back slightly to align closer to the Super Rugby season. And then the Lions and any summer tours will also move back further to give a proper break, so you don't get this ludicrous situation where Premiership finalists aren't available for the first England or Wales or Lions games tests of a tour.
Yeah, they're going to have to sort something up, because these players have had... If you've played the World Cup for England... on that exceptional year, which they are if you manage to swing, you've come all the way through, you've had, what, six weeks off, or whatever, I think 5 week mandatory break?
That's this summer, yeah.
So
this...
But then the Lions kicks off. So what, in that 3 year period, you'll have 5 weeks off, five continuous.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's not good enough. Yeah.
It's not. We can get into this another time. Can I tell you something else, another bit of information that I have learned?
Oh, yes. Does it involve Bundiaki?
No, that's but interesting. A lot of people have pointed out that someone we've mentioned on a previous podcast, Purpalaki, is subject of a documentary.
Yes,
the man who feels muscles or whatever it was called. Anyway, no, this goes from New Zealand, the All Blacks, who are going to be playing against and hosting the Lions, to a former All Black who is going to be coming in the other direction to the Premiership. We talked about it last week. And yes. We talked about it as it, we did. We oh, it must just be hypothetical. Let me tell you, my sources tell me Ma Nonu is 100% going to Bristol.
When?
Wow.
I'm not entirely sure when, but he is going to Bristol.
So he'll be playing outside centre with Henson inside.
He can't be playing inside. Henson's too good.
Yeah.
They'll have to accommodate him. He's going to have a pay cut and he's going to have to be accommodated on the outside of Henson.
Has he ever played on the wing?
£1 million.
£1 million?
Yeah.
Wow. He's probably worth it. Not only is he probably worth it, okay? If I'm Bristol now, I think, okay, right, I don't need to pay £1 million. What Wasps need is a more substantial member of their backline. I'll swap this £1 million player with Wasps right now for Curtly Beale when he's fit. They both benefit.
Interesting.
Wasps have a power game as well as everything else. And Curtly Beale goes to Bristol. I'm not sure how really Bristol get the best. Oh, yeah, but they save £400,000.
Wasps have got the most informed 12 in the league.
Yes,
Jimmy Gopper.
And then they've got... Kyle Eastman's coming.
Eastman and then Beale. No. Yeah. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure Nonu is worth £1 million simply because Dan Carter is the only person getting paid that at the moment. I'm not sure Nonu, because he doesn't kick sticks and he scores tries, but not a huge number.
But he's massively...
He won't accumulate the same number of points as someone like Dan Carter.
But actually, if you think about it, there's not many players in world rugby who are so influential on a field for everything he can do. I mean, obviously he doesn't kick sticks, but he does everything else perfectly.
But he's also had disruptive club career. He was passed round the Super Rugby franchises because he was disrupted.
I thought he was always at Hurricanes, no?
No.
I'm sure.
Have you ever seen Ma Nonu?
Let me just revisit this. I thought he came through the ranks playing outside or inside of Tana Umanga. He's been at Hurricanes as long as I can remember.
He was Hurricanes.
Was he at Chiefs?
Chiefs.
He was at Hurricanes, then he was at the Blues, then he was at the Highlanders, then he was back at the Hurricanes.
Oh my word.
Sorry, then he was back at the Blues. So he was Hurricanes, Blues, Highlanders, Blues, Hurricanes.
So I've just
missed... I'm going to tell you, and I'm putting it out there, over no significant period of time has Ma Nonu played well unless playing for the All Blacks. I think this is a terrible signing for Bristol. I think it's terrible. Really bad. And they do a lot better out of keeping that £1 million in their pocket. I know their owner is desperate to spend his cash, and you get far more value out of Will Horrell and a young guy bringing him through spending money much more wisely. I think it's a bad, bad move.
I love Will Horrell. And if anything motivates a disruptive club guy, it's giving him £1 million, right? I mean, that's exactly how you do it.
Yeah, how are you going to keep his head on it? He's not going to give a shit, is he?
£1 million can buy a lot of multicoloured braids too.
Yeah, how are you going to keep Ma Nonu? He's like, he's in the south of France at the minute, and by the way, he's done nothing for Toulon.
Toulon have done nothing, to be fair. And
no, I know, but he hasn't looked good. But no, he's on the south of France, making a load of money, nice, easy lifestyle. He's moving to Bristol. You going to be able to motivate that guy?
No chance. It remains to be seen. He's won two World Cups. Look, I'm not his lawyer. I don't know why I'm acting like I'm his public defender. Okay,
he's got an incredible skill set. I would be worried about getting value out of that.
Okay.
If he was £500,000, I'd be very interested.
You've got £1 million.
Yeah.
You're not going to get him. Who should Bristol get?
Good question.
I'd get Conrad Smith. He's a model pro, and he'll do it. He'll do a job. If you wanted to get a former All Black centre, Conrad Smith, what a job he would do.
I'm not sure I'd spend £1 million on anyone who plays in the backs, really.
Other than Big Gav.
Bowden Barrett, I would... You wouldn't be able to get him. Even £1 million wouldn't get Bowden Barrett.
Well, you can ask.
I'd ask the question. I'm sure they have done. If they're going for Nonu, I'm sure they have done. I'll tell you who they should...
This is past my curfew now. I need to get on my way and actually do my job.
Okay. All right.
So, no, seriously, I'll go. You finish up. Okay. Cracking effort.
Thanks, Tim.
Cheers.
Is that Sterling. Right? Yeah, Sterling from you. Thank you for dialing in while you're at work.
No worries. Don't tell anyone, yeah? Keep it quiet. No one knows.
Yeah.
Shh. In a bit.
Bye. A million quid. Who would you buy? Or what position?
10 or 8.
I would look at an 8 or a second row.
I'll tell you the only play. So Dan Carter, I think, is probably worth it. Beauden Barrett. Israel Folau. I'm not sure there's anyone outside that.
I'm not paying Israel Folau a million quid. Or am I? No, I'm not. I reckon someone like Eben Etzebeth.
Yeah.
Start winning some contact. Or...
Tighter props are worth a lot of money, but they're not million-pound money.
Why not? Carl Heyman was.
He wasn't million-pounds, though.
Carl Heyman, in his prime, if he was available now, would be worth £1 million.
No, I disagree. No props have ever... Props, there's a few, when the top 14 were spending ludicrous money, there's a few around the 400, 500k mark. There was no one more than that.
I reckon Carl Heyman was at one point the highest paid rugby player in the world. If he wasn't, he was in top three. He was up there.
Yeah, he would have been up there.
Which means, if you translate that over to today, they probably are worth something like that now.
Maybe not quite a million, but they'll be up there. But who would you get? Who is as good as Heyman in his prime now?
Nobody is my answer. There's no one 6'4" who can do one man lifts. Maybe the Beast, someone like that.
He's a loose head, though.
Mm. Yeah, but he's a big name. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Etzebeth for me. That's one that I'd go for.
Okay. Shall we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's do that. Thank you for listening, everyone. Sorry about the previous effort. Hopefully this has put us back in your good graces. Before we go, actually, haven't we got one more thing to do?
One more thing to mention, just from me. Go to statbacker.co.uk. This week's competition is Defenders Beaten. The previous podcast, when we were very hungover, we ran through some of the top players. But if you sign up with £10, you'll get a 15% huge rugby discount, which is massive. So go and have a look at it. It's a good fun game, and you'll get a pretty tasty discount.
Yes, and also Tough Screen.
And Tough Screen.
Do you actually have a winner?
It. I have it.
Oh, go on. And the winner is...
We are going to tweet you now, Mr. Jimmy Garrigan.
Jimmy Garrigan, congratulations.
Whose Twitter account is at StopJammerTime.
StopJammerTime. There we go. Is the winner of a World Cup, a gold medal winning Fiji jersey. So well done, Jimmy. Thanks for listening. And I hope your phone is very safe.
It will be now.
Yeah. Check us out on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. Check out our sponsors, Cornerstone and Beer 52, both good guys. And until next week, we will see you then. Bye bye, Phil.
Bye, JB.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.